Why is humility important for leaders? This pivotal question underpins Zenger Folkman's 2 decades of research into how leadership traits, specifically humility and arrogance, affect leadership effectiveness. Humble leaders tend to empower their employees by recognizing their strengths and contributions. This leads to increased employee engagement and motivation. People want confident, yet humble leaders. So, we did an in-depth analysis of arrogance and humility and found 7 signs of arrogance to watch out for to make sure your workforce sees you as truly humble. Welcome to the 90th Percentile, an unconventional leadership podcast by Zenger Folkman. Each week, using research from over 1.5 million global assessments of leaders, we analyze leadership traits, trends, and what it really takes for leaders to get to the 90th percentile. I'm Brianna Corin, and joining me today is leadership legend and guru, my friend Jack Zenger.
Hi, Bri.
Hello. So as we're getting into humility, Jack, is there anything that you are straight up not humble about? Like, I am overly confident that I make the best German chocolate cake. If someone says, this is the best cake to me, I reply, yes, yes, it is. I know it is.
Well, let me think. You know, people tell me that I don't look or act my age. And I'm obviously pleased with that. I hope not smug, but I am flattered. And I think it's accurate.
It is, very much so. I would agree. Well, as we go into this conversation about humility, I did want to share, before we get into our research, a few key learnings from a book I recently read by Amir Kasi called Humbitious, which I think is a fantastic word, right? The power of low ego, high drive leadership, because it really challenged the way I looked at humility. And I wanted to get some of your thoughts about his arguments. So first off, he said humility isn't about modesty. It's about honest self-awareness and acknowledging strengths and weaknesses to set realistic goals to continuously improve. The next thing that stood out was that success favors the humbitious, is what he says. Contrary to what some may think, leaders with high ambition and low ego outperform, he found, those with high ego and low ambition. That was the kind of the secret combination. Mm-hmm. The next thing was that humility has this ability to build strong teams when you have this humble leader. It creates this psychological safety in the team and in the workplace, a place where feedback can flow and collaboration is better. And humble leaders, they foster trust and engagement within their team. So there's better performance, which makes sense. And the last thing he talked about is this narcissistic fallacy. So he argued that while some narcissists, you know, these really overconfident, what we'd call arrogant people, may succeed in this short term, the true long-term success and sustainable performance come from building trusting relationships with others, and you do that through humility.
You know, Brie, I'm in agreement with all of his conclusions. I think that the tricky part of this discussion, in my mind, is the delicate balance between what you privately think and feel and what you publicly express and how you express it. I think it is helpful for people to have a high level of self-confidence and a general trust in their own perceptions, but brazenly expressing that publicly does not create the most positive relationships. We all want to be treated with respect as if we are equal with the person we're talking with. And so humility in my book means knowing and acknowledging that the view you hold might be wrong, and that you're willing to consider evidence to the contrary, and that you're genuinely interested in the other person's point of view. I totally agree with the conclusion that high ambition and low ego will always, in the long run, accomplish more than having a high ego and lower ambition. Acting with humility does bring out the best in others, which is clearly one way of defining good leadership.
And this goes so well with our research that we've done recently on arrogance at Zenger Folkman. So when most people meet or interact with an arrogant leader, they might find the personality trait annoying or frustrating, but may not believe it negatively, like, impacts their leadership effectiveness, let's say. And maybe for some people, it doesn't. But in fact, some even believe that a little arrogance may be a positive trait for a leader. Like Kasi said, it might work in the short term.
You know, several years ago, a client wanted us to measure arrogance and humility using a 360-degree assessment process. Our study utilized a comprehensive 360-degree assessment to gauge leadership traits. This method, involving feedback from various levels within an organization, offers a more holistic view of a leader's impact. We specifically measured arrogance and examples of humility through an item that asks, quote, avoids acting arrogantly and constantly tries to listen and learn from others. We compared those assessments against our norms and found that leaders who rated themselves lower than others and their ratings, we deemed them humble, while those who overestimated themselves compared to others' ratings were categorized as arrogant. So among 708 leaders we analyzed, we found that 20% were arrogant and 14% were humble. And not surprisingly, the humble leaders were rated at the 66th percentile in their overall effectiveness, which was nearly twice as high as the arrogant leaders, who scored at only the 34th percentile.
What a difference. And it does surprise me that more leaders within that group were arrogant than humble. And I guess I'm biased that I work with a lot of really nice people that are humble.
Well, I hope that's true, Bree. Early in my career, I had a colleague who often talked about the twin demons that beset so many leaders. And the two demons he identified were arrogance and complacency. And I've observed that this does apply to a significant slice of leaders. And about 20% seems about right. But once we discovered the effectiveness of measuring arrogance and humility in leadership, we speculated that using that same process of comparing people's self-reports to ratings from others, we could then determine arrogance or humility examples on much larger data sets. The next data set we used in a second study was larger, and it assessed 118,000 plus leaders. We wanted to find out if being a bit arrogant affected how effective a leader is seen to be by others. So we checked how leaders rated themselves and how others rated them using a new 5-item scale. And the graph that's available to our listeners shows something interesting, that a small hint of arrogance, one item that would be labeled as describing arrogance, dropped a leader's effectiveness from the average, about the 49th percentile, marked as zero, to below average, or the 34th percentile, marked as a minus one.
Just one thing. Like that drop is a big deal. Yeah. And I also noticed in the graph, as I was looking at it, that it's true for the opposite side of the equation. If leaders were just a bit more humble, their effectiveness went up on average to above the 62nd percentile, which is also a big deal. I mean, these are big extremes on both sides for arrogant leaders, -5, and which were seen as less effective. As you look at the graph, they landed at the 20th percentile, those who were, you know, at the -5 of the scale. But the most humble leaders, those at the +5, were at the 78th percentile in effectiveness. So it just really shows that this is something that matters a lot.
Exactly. It's surprising but true that thinking you're better than other people think you are can really hold you back. Imagine that everyone else rates your skills lower than you do. This overconfidence can actually have a big, big downside. And on the flip side, if you observe, just considering that you might be not quite as great as you believe puts you in the humble zone. And when we compared arrogant people, those rated on, you know, -5 to -1, to humble ones, we found that there were indeed 7 skills where the two groups really differed the most. It's like the secret key to success. Knowing that you're not perfect makes you better.
Yeah, yes. And I, person who is a rule follower, so I appreciate a sign that warns that something is up ahead, that I need to do something about it. So today, we're going to give you these 7 warnings, because the reality is a lot of people out there don't realize that other people perceive them as arrogant. They're just maybe feeling like, oh no, I'm showing confidence, I'm showing leadership. They don't think that they have reached that zone. And probably their direct reports aren't really going to tell them to their face, right? So we are going to give you some helpful hints. And to start it off, the number one thing where we found the biggest difference was in relationships. No surprise, it's number one. Arrogant leaders often harm workplace relationships due to their inability to value others' opinions or contributions. This is not psychologically safe. I know that's a kind of a buzzword environment that they create. And this could be as simple as constantly interrupting or belittling employees during your meeting. You might think it's a joke, but they may not. Are you taking over the conversation the whole time? Are you always saying no to someone's ideas? This can create a toxic work environment, and that leads to decreased morale and increased turnover, which nobody wants.
Yeah, the next two were first, honesty and integrity. Arrogant leaders may be seen as untrustworthy because they prioritize their own interests over the greater good or the truth. An example is a leader who manipulates data to make his or her performance look better, eroding trust among their colleagues and their direct reports. The next item was being a team player. Arrogant leaders often prioritize their own ideas while dismissing other people's ideas, and this creates conflict within their teams. An example is a project leader who disregards their team's input, insisting on using their approach, which can result in failed projects and demotivated team members.
Yeah, I think a good way to check yourself on this one is just to examine how often you are asking others for input. Adam Grant has done some fantastic research on communication, and he found that individuals who prioritize asking questions over providing immediate answers, they're openly acknowledging their flaws and opt for a more tentative tone in their speech. These people stand out as exceptional, potent communicators, is what he's found. And the key to this is that you have to do it in a genuine way. If people sense that you're trying to convince them of something, then they just don't want to hear it, or if they feel like they're being manipulated. But if instead you approach it like, hey, I might be wrong, but what do you think? Suddenly, hey, you're all ears. And it's because it feels like they're not trying to win you over. They're being real with you. They're trying to figure things out together as a team, as a group. And that's why being humble and open makes for some of the best conversation and builds really good relationships with your team.
And the next couple of items were being less coachable. If you find yourself resistant to feedback, that can really hinder your growth and affect the entire organization. For instance, a senior leader might dismiss market research that contradicts their vision and lead the company in a very unprofitable direction, because they just are not willing to kind of seek and react and respond to feedback.
And isn't it interesting, Jack, that we've talked about this, as people get promoted into higher positions and older, they become less coachable. Like, this is a common problem.
Yeah, exactly. And the next one we found was that they fail to keep other people informed. Arrogant leaders often have poor communication, which then leads to strategic misalignments. A department head who doesn't clearly communicate changes in project priorities. That can cause confusion and inefficiency among all the team members.
So next in this list of signs is, of course, that they are less inclusive. We've talked about that a lot, and it's coming up a lot, that this is a sign of arrogance. The lack of appreciation for diversity can create a hostile work environment. An example of this is a leader who constantly promotes or favors individuals who share their background or perspectives, part of their friend group. So employees feel like they're constantly being watched or judged, leading to this sense of insecurity and a reluctance to take risks. So this type of arrogance, this less inclusiveness, this stifles initiative and it prevents employees from feeling comfortable enough to report problems or safety concerns. It's something to really watch out for.
Yeah. And the final thing we found was that a warning sign is when there's an insufficient focus on developing other people. Leaders who fail to mentor or develop their team. An example of this is a manager who focuses solely on meeting short-term goals and neglects the long-term professional growth of their team members. And that results in a kind of general lack of skill development and career progression for all the members on his or her team.
Humility in leadership, contrary to being perceived as a weakness, often leads, like we've talked about, to higher effectiveness. However, it's crucial to note that humility does not equate to passivity or indecision. It involves genuine self-awareness and a commitment to organizational goals and team development.
Yes, humble leaders are often the most effective, and it's clear why that's true when you look at these seven areas. Arrogance can wreak havoc, especially in building relationships and maintaining honesty and integrity. An arrogant leader first ruins relationships and then loses people's trust. So the biggest takeaway from this research, in my opinion, is humility isn't just a nice trait. It's a key driver of a leader's success. Doesn't mean being weak or self-demeaning. It's about being fully committed and authentic and not faking it. A humble leader is deeply devoted to their organization's goals and genuinely their team's members' values. I believe that leaders can cultivate humility by actively asking for feedback. You know, I think this is one of the single most powerful behaviors that anyone can practice, and the one that will make the biggest difference. Why? It has three very distinctive effects. First, it strengthens the relationship between the person who asks and the person that she or he is asking the question of. Secondly, it elevates the way you are perceived by the other individual. It elevates you in their eyes. And third, it gives you a wealth of useful information that then enables you to be a much more effective leader. By understanding the profound effect of humility and arrogance in leadership, we can foster more effective and inclusive leadership styles that then benefit individuals and organizations alike.
The 90th Percentile, an unconventional leadership podcast, was produced by Zanger Folkman. At Zanger Folkman, we're passionate about empowering leaders and driving organizational success through our innovative leadership development programs, assessments, and coaching products. If you're eager to explore customized leadership training for your organization, feel free to reach out to us at info@zangerfolkman.com or simply click the link in our episode notes for more information. There, you'll also find the links to all the research featured in this episode. Your support has fueled our growth over these past few years, and we're thankful for your recommendations to all of your friends and coworkers. If you haven't yet, a positive review would mean the world to us. You can connect with us on our LinkedIn podcast page or suggest topics to us via info@zfco.com. Thanks again for listening to The 90th Percentile.